The program is Lawrence and Taylor. You're tuned in with it on 590 WKZO. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
It sounds like tires spinning in that.
Tires spinning?
Yeah, they're in the background with all the snow on the ground.
Very imaginative of you.
Yeah.
Wasn't there, but it's, you know.
It's the magic of theater of the mind, Jeremy. Come on.
And here I am spoiling it for everybody.
Yeah.
Kind of like that theater of the mind that you claim irresistibility among the females. And
Well, that's a proven fact.
And then I just bring you right back down to earth and go, no.
No, okay. It's usually women who do that. Yeah, it's the women who take care of that, Jeremy.
Of course.
That
of
won't
course.
Default to you. And I'm the Raj Taylor of that.
Yes. Because you finally need to say your name there. Otherwise, people go, who is this?
Yeah.
Sounds a little like John Boehner. I don't know.
Maybe not.
You'd have to be in tears constantly in order for that to happen, I have a feeling.
But, well, I'm on the verge, but no. Not today.
Given the temperatures, you could be on the verge of tears and just have them crystallize.
Oh, freeze before they hit ground. A little like the throwing boiling water in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, which another safety reminder, folks. I read an article that in the last polar vortex, there were hundreds, yes, hundreds of people who were scalded when they threw boiling water into the air to have it freeze before it hit the ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is a little like when the first year they deep-fried turkeys on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And
fires were started.
People
yes.
started mm-hmm. fires. Well, hundreds of people ended up in the hospital with bad scald burns because they tried throwing boiling hot water into the air. And
so two tips. First of all, don't.
Yes.
Second of all, if you're going to be dumb enough to try it, check the wind direction
first.
Yes.
Make sure it's not blowing into your face.
If it's coming right back at you, yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Something tells me. So one other thing coming at us here in just the next probably month or so, the debt ceiling will reach it again. According to Treasury Secretary Jack Lew, he says that he's estimating that Congress would need to raise the debt ceiling by late February to avoid a potential default.
That's earlier than it was predicted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not a lot, but I thought they initially thought it wouldn't be necessary until March.
Which, second month or the third month, well, it's close,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, we knew it was coming.
But it's coming, and yes, once again, you get to hear members of Congress go back and forth and declare that each of them are horrible and awful and wants to end the country as we know it, whether they be a Tea Party person or an extreme left-wing person.
Jeremy, I would like you to help me understand. Congress made the decision to spend this money a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get why we have this kerfuffle time and time again when Congress knew this was coming when they did what they did a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet every time it gets here, we have some people who threaten to trash the country's credit rating. Help me understand. Now, why is that happening?
I think the other side of the debate on this looks at the idea that, you know what? We need to be able to stop spending more than we're bringing in. And for a lot of those people that decide, you know what, they're going to try and be difficult on this particular debate, these are the same people that voted no on the budget. So they're not going to necessarily say, well, it was me spending the money. Well, no, you voted against it. So I could see the argument there. The thing that I really wish would happen in these situations is, first of all, you know what? let's not make this an overdramatic thing. Let's look at this and say, all right, we need the ceiling to go up. However, what we also need is a legitimate discussion after the fact that says, you know what, we need to stop spending so much money. Let's look for ways to cut and not cut the rate of growth, but actually cut costs so that we can maybe get, well, I don't know, a balanced budget. That might actually be helpful.
You're being rational.
I do it all the time.
These are politicians, Jeremy.
No, I know.
They're not likely to get all rational and stuff.
And that's the thing. I see what happens with both sides. And you've got the side that says, we want to bring spending down. Okay, noble goal. I think it's something that a lot of people would say, yeah, we need to do. But holding everything hostage, okay, probably not the best thing to do. I mean, that's sort of like, okay, spending control at gunpoint. But then you have the other side of it that just says, well, agree to this, and then we agree that we'll talk about it. No, we need to sit down and have an agreement on it, because eventually we're not going to be able to afford all this spending. We really can't already anyway.
Well, another approach, and I'm a simple guy, and I like simple approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just do away with this debt ceiling thing altogether? And when Congress appropriates money or passes a budget,
mm-hmm.
once you decide to buy something, you don't decide 6 months later whether or not you want to pay for it. You can't do that in your private life. You can't decide, well, I want a car, and I am going to get myself a new car, and then 6 months later have a debate whether or not you're going to pay for the car you made a decision for.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just do away with this the whole fiasco?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when Congress spends money, they admit they've spent money,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have to pay their bills. Why does some part of Congress think it's optional to pay your bills?
I don't think it's a matter of saying it's optional. I think it's a matter of saying we want to control this spending. It's running away.
But isn't the time to do that when you're actually spending the money, not deciding later, well, we may not pay for what we spent?
A lot of these people that are saying we don't want to have to raise the debt ceiling are saying we didn't want to spend the money to begin with and voted no on it.
But there's
not a whole lot of choice there.
But the majority of Congress voted for it.
Well, the majority of Congress might run off of a cliff, too, but it's still not a great idea.
But that's how democracies work,
Jeremy. Bottom line here is I like the idea of having this extra step, because it reminds us, the people, that you know what? We've got all of these people in Congress that love to spend more money than what they're bringing in. I think this illustrates it better than anything else out there. And I think it's a reminder to all of us that, you know what, we need to get on these people and tell them, stop spending so much of our money.
But can you imagine what we look like to the rest of the world, where we spend the money and then after the fact we debate whether or not we're going to be good on our debt, whether or not we're going to pay for what we agreed to do? Can you see how stupid we look to the rest of the world?
Well,
no other country does this kind of crap.
Being that an awful lot of countries have spent themselves into debt and ruin, a la Greece, you know, we're not the only ones they're looking at and going, okay, bunch of idiots there.
Okay, you picked a really bad apple country.
Certainly.
There are lots of countries that aren't Greece, and we look pretty damn silly to them.
Honestly, we look silly for a lot of other reasons than just the money that we're spending. But let's head on over to the phones. We got the phone lines loaded right now. Harry is with us in Kalamazoo. Harry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having taken phone calls. I know these people say we got to cut spending because we're spending ourselves into debt. But I object to several ways that they don't even suggest. I mean, they want to cut, well, the farm bill don't get passed because they want to cut out of food stamps. They want to cut that down.
Mm-hmm.
They course, that's welfare. Excuse me. They say welfare is out of whack, but I don't hear any of them mentioning corporate welfare. I just heard on the radio today where some electric company, I think it's in North Dakota, that lost a lot of revenue because of their lines being down. Well, guess where they're getting the money? The federal government under FEMA. You know what FEMA is?
Yeah,
sure.
They paid that electric company something in the millions of dollars because they lost their they lost money when their lines were down. Now, isn't that corporate welfare?
Mm-hmm.
As much corporate welfare as it would be to bail out the auto manufacturers, I would think. But
and then they cut out at the bottom end of the scale all the time. They pick on Social Security people.
Or raise taxes on pensions, like we did here in Michigan.
Like the governor did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we all got to feel the pain, I don't see our people in Washington or Lansing, but I'm picking on Washington mostly, because they take their raises all the time. And if we got to feel the pain, why don't they cut out some of their perks? Not cut them out, but at least cut them down. Let us know that they want to feel some pain too, but I don't see them doing that.
Since 1982, we've increased the minimum wage 5 times. Congress voted themselves raises 17 times.
Well, you know what? That's another bone. They don't even have to vote on it.
Right.
I mean, if they want it,
they just allow it to happen.
Well, who appointed these committees to say that, oh, yeah, they deserve a raise this year? I never seen a working man that could go in and say, hey, I deserve a raise this year and get it if I don't vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Harry, we do have to get on to some other calls here. The lines are loaded, but
appreciate you taking the time
with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we move from Harry on to Justin, also in Kalamazoo. Justin, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I was just curious. Roger was just talking about how silly it is to try to take away for the funding for something that we've, already granted the funds for or whatnot. But, I mean, so, Roger, what you're saying is that once it's voted on, then it's the law and you need to follow it, right? I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. It's like if you go buy a car, and borrow the money from a credit union to do that, there's no option after the fact for you to decide whether or not you want to make the payments on that car.
Even if it's not popular, right? I mean, you still have to follow the guideline. I mean, for instance, I mean, when you put it through, you should have known all the repercussions and had weighed those before you ended up allowing it to go through, right? I mean, that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That once Congress spent the money, where did they come up with this madness that there's yet another vote on whether or not we're going to pay the bills the government incurred?
Sure.
When they made the decision to spend the money, they made the decision to spend the money.
Do you have any outrage in that Obama allowing people to keep the health plans right now that don't conform to the Affordable Care Act, how he didn't go through Congress, that he just signed and instructed the insurance companies to ignore the law and to just go a different way without going through procedures? Or do you have any objections to
what does that have to do with what we're talking about, Justin? We're not talking about Obamacare here. We're talking about raising the debt limit for the country. We got to stick to sort of one topic. I'm sorry, but we're not talking Obamacare.
But doesn't that fall kind of under the same? I mean, just following through on what has been voted on, what is law?
It's apples and oranges. No, it has nothing to do with raising the debt limit, Justin. I'm not seeing any connection at all here. This has nothing to do with health care. We're talking about.
I'm,
This is military spending. This is paying for the war in Afghanistan.
Does it not have anything to do with following through on commitments and on laws that are there?
No. This has to do with if you make a decision to spend the money, there's no escape clause after the fact for buyer's remorse and say, oops, I've decided I'm not going to pay for that. Because now 6 months later, it's not a new car anymore, and so I'm not going to make the payments. No, it has nothing to do with healthcare, Justin. I don't know where you're going with this.
But I guess that's what you're choosing to use the verbiage on, that healthcare. My point wasn't healthcare. My point was that once it's voted on and once it's in place, then you can't back out on it. And so you can say it has nothing to do with healthcare, just like I have. It has nothing to do with the roads. Well, that's fine, but you can label it whatever you want. But doesn't it come down to
Justin?
Once it's apportioned out, I mean, that it is what it is at that point, right? Isn't that
connection? I have no idea what you're talking about, Justin. This is so far off topic. We're out in the weeds here. I don't know what we're talking about. It must be you're talking way over my head. But we're
nothing
talking
less
about
than what
the...
I expected, so that's fine.
Okay. Have a good day. Thanks for calling in.
You too. Bye.
All right, 382-4280 is the phone number if you'd like to be a part of the proceedings here, 877-382-4280. Just to get back on track, we've been talking about the debt limit. Apparently, towards the end of next month, we're up against that same vote they seem to be having about every 3-4 months.
Yeah.
To say, all right, we're going to keep this going. Are we going to cut some spending as well? What are we going to do here?
But this isn't related to Obamacare. There's no connection at all. This is the government paying for itself.
Okay, let's head to Craig, who's on the line from Hickory Corners. Craig, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Just fine. How you doing?
Yeah, we're good.
Good. I'm calling about the concept of budget and then spending money. I'm not weighing in on right or wrong or any kind of policy things. If a budget, in my understanding, is a plan or a forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And then you execute the budget. If you don't have money in the till, then you're not going to spend the money if you're a family or a business.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it doesn't fit with the idea of the budget being set in stone. A budget, in my understanding, is a plan or a forecast. Now, I think that it should be as close as possible, but if you are a family sitting around the table making a budget and you're saying, well, we're going to make $50,000 this year, we'll have enough for a $2,000 vacation, and it comes time to buy the tickets, and you don't have the money, my guess is that you're not going to take the vacation. I think that's
I think I follow you on that. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my understanding of why the budget up at the high level, and then when they go and they execute, they actually take action to spend the money, that's a separate thing.
Okay.
So that's why the debt ceiling problem exists.
I think it's more complex than that because, yes, some departments get a budget, but others have a very specific allocation of money that was passed for a specific project by Congress.
So it's much more complex than what I said.
Yes. And money gets spent in many ways. But you're right, a budget is a guideline. The Army can't tell soldiers in Afghanistan, I'm sorry, it's the 28th of the month, but you've run out of your budget for bullets. And so the last 3 days, you just better keep your head down because you aren't going to have any ammunition.
Right.
And so that's...
On the other side, then, if I have my 50K budget and I have $1,000 a month for my house payment and I lose my job and I don't have $1,000 for 3 months in a row, I don't cut the check for $1,000.
Yeah, you lose your house.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're not the government.
Sure.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the rub.
Okay. Well, Craig, we do have to get to a break at this particular point, so I'm going to have to let you go. But thank you for calling in today. I appreciate it. And the program continues ahead as we continue. You know what? Tim's waiting on the line. We'll see if we can't get him fit in here sometime soon.
Hold on. We'll get right to you.
And, of course, we'll keep taking your calls as well, so make sure you keep it right where you got it. You know, Roger and I just enjoy talking and spending an awful lot of time talking. And what we find out is when we look at the clock, you know what? Time flies.
Especially when you're having fun. Tim, sure. We're going to have to put you on hold for a couple more minutes.
But yeah.
Right after a news update from CBS and our 590 WKZO newsroom, we'll be right with you.
And we'll continue the discussion as we talk about the debt ceiling. Of course, as we continue ahead, if you want to be a part of the program, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Portion of the program brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com.
When last we met, we were talking about the setting the new budget deficit.
Yes, debt ceiling is what they're talking about.
And
apparently, it's coming up at the end of next month, from what the Treasury Secretary is saying. So Congress is going to have to get to work on this here in a few weeks. That's kind of where we were so far, if you're just joining us.
And Tim has been waiting patiently.
I mean, he has been on the line for a long time.
He gets an official attaboy for hanging in there.
Thanks, Tim, for hanging around with us. We do appreciate it. You are now on the air, and we welcome you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. But maybe it wasn't really worth all that wait. I don't know if what I have to say is...
Oh, try us. You never know.
Well, you know, I didn't seem to... I think the program kind of started off with wages that, like, representatives get paid for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, we go a lot of different places, but yes.
And of course, that all is part of the budget. And, you know, you only got the budget, you only have so much to spend. So if we are spending too much on representatives, then maybe that's one way to cut. But, you know, they do have a job and they do work.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you're looking at budgets, whether it's a house budget or your home,
mm-hmm.
You have to look at priorities. And it seems like... you know, you have to go to where the biggest place is first, where you can start cutting, saving money for your budget, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know, in my circle, it seems like I'm hearing more and more, even on the radio reports and stuff about people that they catch that were able to hold down work, but, you know, because they knew they had the right legal representation or something when they went in for, I don't know, it's called a disability hearing or this or that. And next thing you know, they're retired at, in their late 30s or 40s, and they catch them out deep sea fishing or something. It was just a recent one where in New York, they caught a bunch of guys that were, they're holding down other jobs. They've got lawn businesses or whatever going on, and then they're still collecting money from the government.
Okay. Well, you know, I think in any situation, and Tim, thanks for your call. We really appreciate it today. I think in any situation, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be looking at the government budget, you got to look at where the money is going out that you can spend a little bit smarter and that kind of thing. I think my point all along with this has been, all right, if we're going to look at the debt ceiling, let's get it done, but let's legitimately sit down afterwards and say, you know what, we're spending too much money on a lot of areas. We're not going to leave this room until we figure out where and how we can cut it. You don't see the government doing that, and they really should. They really need to.
Oh, that wasn't my argument.
Oh, no. I think we're in agreement there.
My argument was that you don't decide whether or not you're going to pay your bills after you've run the bills up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You ought to be making a proactive decision when you start spending money mm-hmm. that you're going to pay your bills, that you're not going to stiff the people you just bought something from.
Sure, sure. So what do you think about things if you've been thinking about, you know what, I want to get through to these guys. I want to tell them that they're absolutely right, or maybe we're absolutely wrong. We could be. It happens occasionally.
No.
Not too often, but occasionally it does. So if you'd like to do that, you can give us a call at 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. You know, as I look at the proceedings, the way that this has gone all along, I don't like the idea that there are certain members of the Republican Party that will say, you know what, we're not going to let you pass this ceiling until we cut spending on this, this, and that. I don't like that whole hostage-holding thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I really don't like the noncommittal attitude that you get from the other side that says, you know what, pass the debt ceiling and then, well, we might get together and talk about it. I think it's time to get serious.
See, but the problem comes is where you're going to cut the spending.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of government spending has a constituency, mm-hmm. and it isn't consistent with political parties. A lot of it depends on what industry you have in your district.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you build plane parts in your district, then cutting the Pentagon budget is off limits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every district has their own thing they want to see money spent on.
Well, I think it comes down to you've got to get a group of people that, I saw a little bit of John Boehner. He was on with Jay Leno, apparently, the other night.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said was he equated passing a bill like trying to get a wheelbarrow filled with, I think he said, 218 frogs and have them all stay in there long enough to be able to pass a bill. And it's like, okay, well, that's a pretty good analogy. I was going to say herding cats, but it's pretty close. And I think you've got to get enough people to get serious and say, you know what, this country spends too much money. And we need to stop spending on, and yeah, there are certain things you got to spend money on every now and again, but defense spending, we can spend smarter, better than what we do. And at the same time, we've got these little things like, oh, let's buy plane tickets for college students to fly to China so that they can study dinosaur bones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government has no business doing that.
But
they have no business studying cow farts, which is something else they do with government spending.
And, methane and the issues with it, whether or not that's legitimate. But in the Pentagon, we are building airplanes that the Air Force doesn't want, mm-hmm. and they're immediately putting into mothballs
mm-hmm.
because the Air Force has no use for it.
And we're not talking, you know, little drones or anything. These are C-130s, the biggies.
Big multi-million-dollar planes that we're building that we don't need,
mm-hmm.
and we're just packing them away. So it isn't just sending kids to China and studying health farts.
That's why I brought up defense spending as a way to say, let's spend a little smarter there as well. I think it takes a give and take on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's get with Joe in Portage. Joe, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Debt spending, you guys going on about that. That's never going to quit until you get rid of the Democrats and Republicans. This has been a facade for the last, 60, 70 years of a constant spending, a constant drum up of just floating the boat for the Pentagon, giving money to countries that don't need it. I mean, we're giving money to people that hate us.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic concept. And as for Michigan and its surplus, let's look where they got that surplus from. Could it possibly have been from cutting the schools?
Nobody's
brought that up yet. I have not heard that. Where did you get this money? How did you save this much money? Oh, you cut the education. The same education that you say you want to have a smarter workforce. But here's an idea. To make you smarter, we'll cut every possible area in education we can. So, you'll be a smarter worker. Not mm-hmm. sure how that concept works out, but I can say that if these guys in Lansing here were on my job site, they would be fired. Because there's this thing called coming to work, and all of us have to work, 5, 6, 7 days a week. These guys get I don't know how many days a week they work, maybe one, two.
Well, they work 65 days this year is their schedule.
Wow. Yeah.
It's hard work.
Yeah, yeah, and they're crying about people on welfare. What are they?
Okay, Joe, honestly. We do have to get to a break here, but, we do appreciate your phone call today. Thanks, Joe.
Have a good weekend. Yep.
Okay, and as the program continues ahead, we'll continue the discussion with you and with each other for a little while longer anyway, and then lots of cold and lots of snow as the weekend is ahead. Make sure you keep it right here, 590 KZO and the Lawrence and Taylor program. And the program continues. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
Raj Taylor on this side of the table.
Of course. And we've got a little program that we like to call Bob and George.
Yep.
Of course.
This week. We're going to change the name next week.
Why not? Interesting thing. We brought this up earlier. I wanted to mention it before the show was over. There is a guy by the name of Alan Levine. And he would love to be a congressman.
Oh.
He really would love to be a congressman. He's made his plans to run for Congress in Georgia.
Okay.
Minnesota.
Oh.
Hawaii.
Hmm.
And right here in Michigan.
They're not even contiguous states.
No.
He's willing to relocate.
Of course. Basically, what he'd like to do is he wants to run in primaries in these four states. With the idea of, I'm going to run, and if I win the primary somewhere, that's where I'm going to move. And I'll be able to run from there so that I can go serve in Congress. Now, you'll note on this list, Hawaii is part of the mix. And you got to think, all right, if you're just looking for a way to decide where you want to move, I'll make it simple on you. Hawaii is 72 degrees year-round.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bring that up because that might be a better thing. But it's the whole idea of, carpet bagging, as they used to call it way back when, and even as recently as Hillary Clinton saying, I want to run for Senate. Hey, good idea.
Oh,
in
yeah.
New York.
Or Cheney's daughter running, deciding she was going to move to Wyoming.
Mm-hmm, in Wyoming. Of course, she stopped now. She's no longer running.
Yes,
but you've got this situation of we've got this situation of this guy deciding, all right, four different states, he wants to be in Congress. Okay, great. Pick the state you've lived in for a while. You know, that was the one thing that I always had with Hillary is like, okay, you want to be in Congress? Great. You're more than welcome to run in Arkansas because that's where you've been living. You know, that's the thing that I always said. Now, people in New York elected her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And some would say she served well. Some would say she didn't. And regardless of your leanings on that, she got elected. But will this guy get elected? Not sure.
Well, at least she picked one state she mm-hmm. wanted to run in. Mm-hmm. She didn't run in four states simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will vote for me. I shudder to ask, but what political party is this person?
I'm looking through for that now. I thought I'd heard Republican, but I'm not sure. I mean, either
it's
side,
not,
Republican
it's
or Democrat.
Oh, no, no.
Either way.
That was just idle curiosity.
No, yeah. But what he's saying, apparently he says, and I quote, and this is from a CNN article, he says, no matter where you win a seat in Congress, you go to the same building, you do the same work. You can work for your constituents, which all have similar needs. But the key is you go to Washington and help solve the country's problems. Okay, here's where that breaks down. Not all constituents have similar needs.
Mm-hmm.
People in Michigan are going to have different interests than people in, say, Georgia or Hawaii.
Or even districts within that state.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to represent an inner city Detroit district,
mm-hmm.
that might, say, be a little different than Ironwood, Michigan in the UP.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So the idea that he just wants to serve in Congress, I just want to serve my country, I think is what he's saying. Which, okay, that's fine. You want to serve your country. Where do you live now? What district do you live in? Run for Congress. Nothing's holding you back unless you're under the constitutional age.
Yeah.
So, you know, run where you are, I think.
Yeah, but not run in multiple states.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's just looking for a good part-time job.
Either that or he just wants to see his name on, Levine for Hawaii.
Yes. Or North Dakota, or Minnesota.
That's Minnesota, Michigan, Hawaii, and Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia, which they're not even close together.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
In different parts of the country, different interests all the way around, and different issues facing these states. So I'm not a big fan of that. I've never been a big fan of people deciding that, you know, some of the celebrities that decide they're going to run. You know, on either side, really. I mean, you had Gopher that was in Congress for years, and then, what was his name?
Ronald Reagan?
Well, not necessarily Ronald Reagan. I mean, how big a star was he when he was in Hollywood? But you had all the
B-list
movies, really.
Yeah.
But you've got, I'm trying to think.
Schwarzenegger?
Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard. I can't think of his name. Ben whatever it was. Anyway, he ran for Congress. Then you've got Al Franken as another one, which he's senator from Minnesota. It just seemed weird to me that you got this guy that's making fun of politics on Saturday Night Live turn around and run for political office. It just seems
But the
a little
people of
so.
Minnesota voted for him.
Well, they did.
And his popularity, interestingly, I saw that he's a fairly popular senator.
And I haven't seen the polling data. I know he barely got elected when he did get elected the first time out, and there was a lot of debate over that. But to me, I don't know, does that represent the interests of the people of that particular state? I guess they get the ultimate stamp of approval on that, as it were. So will Alan Levine end up being in Congress? Who knows? It's up to Georgia, Minnesota, Hawaii, and whatever district it is here in Michigan that he wants to run for.
I'm thinking as soon as it comes out he's running in four different states, that's going to have an impact on his.
So basically, it's out. It's CNN. He's done. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I got to think at this point, you just got to go, okay, if you're planning on moving to any one of these states, just pick Hawaii. And that way you can kind of hang out on the beach. And here in a few years, Obama will be retiring to Hawaii, and you'll be able to have a partner on the beach to be able to join you in, you know, enjoying a Mai Tai or something, you know.
Will his presidential library be in Hawaii?
I don't know.
I'm thinking Chicago.
I'm thinking it'll be, it's not going to be necessarily Harvard. He went there, but Chicago possibly, one of the universities in that area, or University of Hawaii. That would be interesting to see it there. Well, I think they would accept it there, certainly.
Frequently there's two facilities, like Gerald Ford has. There's the museum, and then there's the Gerald Ford Library, and they're two distinct different facilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe he'll have his mock-up of the Obama White House in Hawaii and a library at Northwestern or something.
Who knows? But the debate goes on that one. There is no definitive spot yet that we can see. So
drive careful out there, folks.
Please
to as much as 9 inches of snow in our listening area tonight. Be a little careful.
Over the weekend, the whole weekend. Have a good one. Talk to you Monday.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.